Welcome to this week's episode of the Aspire to Be podcast. I'm your host, Julie Kropgorelick. Ask any parent today about what keeps them up at night, and paying for college will always rank near the top of their list. My guest today, Danny Umali, is a college strategist and a founder of Game Theory College Planners. He helps families find colleges that are the best fit for their students, both academically and financially. Danny started in retail operations management with some big box companies you might recognize, such as The Gap, Bloomingdale's, and Apple, before pivoting into the financial services industry. Founding Game Theory, Danny has become a disruptor in this space, guiding families through the process with his unique vision. Welcome to Aspire to Be.
Thank you, Julie. I'm glad to be here.
Yes. Well, I'm excited to dig in more about your business. Tell us about Game Theory.
So Game Theory, I started college planning in about 2010 and started my own agency in 2014. We're actually celebrating 10 years.
Ah, fantastic.
In a couple months. We're really excited about that. But we really just help families with the college problem. And we take a really unique approach to it. It's not traditional admissions counseling, but we've just been really lucky at being really good at this, and we just help families get in and find the money to pay for it. And the really neat thing is we're not using their money to do it. We're using the college's money.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's what we do.
Well, I mean, that is disrupting the industry, right? I mean, when you see a lot of college admissions consultants, they're helping prepare students for how to speak during an interview, how to fill out a college essay. And it sounds like you're also digging into, you know, finding the right fit for the student at college, not just saying, hey, I want to go to Princeton, or I want to go to Susquehanna University, or I want to go to a specific place, but helping them identify the right place and then finding the funding to go with that.
Yeah, so we use predictive analytics, and we don't really focus more on the essay. We use social media because that's where they're Google searching students just to see what they're all about.
Sure.
And but yeah, it's very disruptive. It's not typical of what you'll find in this space. And here we are 10 years in, and we're still leading the charge in how we do this. It's when you have an industry that's really used to doing things a certain way, it can be slow to move.
Sure. Sure. Well, and I would also imagine, too, that because this process is so foreign for parents and students, that it's difficult for them to navigate.
It's funny because I always joke around with a lot of the international families that I work with. They say, Danny, we're not from this country. We're kind of confused. We don't really know how this works. I say, listen, nobody knows how this works. You're just like everybody else. You're going to be okay.
Yeah. No. Well, and I mean, there's vulnerability in that too. So I find that also interesting. How do you help manage those moments of stress? I mean, this is one of the most stressful times in a parent's life and also a student's life. So I'd imagine that customer relationship is one that is very delicate.
So yeah, one of my mentors said something that hit me like a ton of bricks is because when you do something for a while, you could kind of lose sight of the importance of it. But he asked me, he said, Danny, can you think of anything more important to a parent than their kids? Can you think of anything more important than their money?
Yeah.
So there's very little room for error in our field. And we have to always remind ourselves that you never really know what they're going through. So you have to be very patient, because a lot of times emotions can run high.
That's what I can imagine. Yeah. I mean, congratulations to you, though, on 10 years and 30,000 families, or more than 30,000 families?
Yeah, so Game Theory College Planners, we've probably, our research team that we've aligned with, I mean, we really stopped counting. So we think it's over 40, but we put it down to over 30 just so people would find it believable.
I mean, that's fantastic. Yeah. That's a lot of impact.
What's funny is when we share a lot of these kind of numbers with these marketing teams, the conversations, okay, we know you could back this up, but we have to lower this so it doesn't sound incredulous.
Oh, my gosh. Well, what was the motivator for starting it? I know you had a background in retail operations management. You moved into the financial and private wealth space.
Yes.
What was the motivator to move into college planning?
So when I got into the wealth management financial services space, one of the first things that hit you really hard is, where am I going to find clients? Mm-hmm. And my wife, Karen, worked at a school for special needs mm-hmm. in Fayette County, the Joseph Sam School. And I learned about estate planning and special needs planning. And I told my wife, hey, I think there might be a market here. Mm-hmm. So she got me in touch with the right people. And I was actually a special needs planner for about a couple of years. That led me to building relationships with all the local high schools.
Wow.
Because here's the parallel. Mm-hmm. If I am a parent of a child with special needs, mm. I'm not worried about college after high school. I'm worried about what are they going to do after. That's called transition.
Yeah.
A lot of parents actually wanted to delay graduation as long as possible so that structure of the school system gave their students something to do. So there were a team. Our firm merged with another firm, and these wealth managers I was working with wanted to start a college planning business. Hmm. And they didn't know how to network with high schools. So I was just there, and they said, hey, would you be willing to help us out? I said, this sounds interesting, but I don't know anything about college. But I'll help you put together a presentation. Mm-hmm. If you think presenting college is hard, try talking about special needs trusts and all the complexities of Medicaid and whatnot.
Wow.
So long story short, I just fell into it. And I realized that this was an area where just a lot of people really needed help. Mm-hmm. And we branched off and started an agency here locally. And I really wanted to put the focus on solving the college problem, not necessarily solving the college problem and managing assets. Mm-hmm. So I started Game Theory, had the prospect of starting a business. So you don't sleep a lot, by the way, if you're getting ready to do this.
I can relate.
So I was out walking my dogs at 2 a.m. and it came to me, Game Theory. That just sounds really cool. Yeah. So I named it.
That's fantastic. Yeah. No, that's fantastic. Well, and I mean, again, you know, you've built a lot of success in this. And certainly, I always ask my guests this too, is did you have a background in business? Did you have, you know, was being a business owner something you'd always dreamed about?
So I don't have a background in anything. So academic excellence was, I have to give my parents a lot of credit. So they really taught us, it doesn't matter what you do or who you are, just be a good one. Mm-hmm. So I got married at a young age, and my wife and I, we relied on the service restaurant industry as servers to pay the bills. Yeah. And I would be a server, and I would just be a good one. Made sure people had a good time. Mm-hmm. When I worked in retail, if I was the HR manager and I had to interview and hire people, I just had to be good at that. Mm-hmm. Ironically, I was also an investigator, a loss prevention investigator for
That sounds interesting.
I was actually really good at it. But it's, again, whatever you do, be a good one. Mm-hmm. And I've had people tell me that I'm very coachable, I'm very trainable, and I'm extremely opinionated. So I don't know, maybe those are the ingredients of being a successful business. I remember as a kid walking into a bike shop and seeing the guy behind the counter look like he was so relaxed, his dog was with him. And I remember making a promise to myself that no matter what I want to do, mm-hmm. I just want to be able to bring my dog with me.
Ah, that's awesome.
My dog's with me every day in my little conference room. So
but that's
mission accomplished.
It's awesome. I love that. I mean, there's always like, I know even as a kid, like I grew up in a small town and I remember I had these grand visions of what I could do with my life. Yeah. But you know, talk about working in a restaurant. I mean, I worked for my parents and wrote a book about how that helped prepare me for mm-hmm. sort of life and business. So, I mean, you mentioned the not sleeping as a business owner and starting. I mean, what are some of the biggest challenges that you faced when you started and or maybe even what you're still facing today?
So I would say one of the biggest challenges is, and probably one of the reasons why I'm so glad to be here today, is just relating to people, what you're trying to do. Because I think one of the biggest challenges is if you come in with a really big idea, a grand vision, mm-hmm. be prepared not to be supported. Yeah. Even openly questioned and openly ridiculed by the people that are closest to you.
Yes, it's so
true. My mother was my biggest cheerleader growing up. Mm-hmm. I will never forget a conversation where I was struggling And I was talking to her on the phone, and she just said, I don't understand why you just can't get a regular job. Maybe you should give up this dream of yours. And I remember that hitting me like a ton of bricks. And I just, I guess I have an almost pathological or unnatural tolerance for rejection.
Yes.
And I think ultimately that's the main ingredient, I think.
It is.
And I let it sink in. It hurt me for a little bit, but I made the decision. I'm moving forward. This is what I want to do.
Well, and sometimes mothers know best too, because I remember having those conversations when I was much younger, and I felt like too, the rejection is really what fuels the fire. And, you also bring up something that I do touch on in my book, which is that when I started my business, I was most surprised by the rejection I felt from the people closest to me, the people who were almost waiting for me to fail and waiting to say, oh, see, I knew she couldn't do it. I've loved nothing more than proving them all wrong. But, you know, those voices, I think early on were hard to hear. Like even when having that conversation with your mom, it's hard to hear. But I do think as an entrepreneur, you have to be resilient and you have to be able to hear those comments and not let it derail your progress.
Yes. And that's why it's so important that you surround yourself with other business owners. Mm-hmm. My brother-in-law, Jason, is a business owner.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, every time we go over to visit for the holidays, we beeline it to each other and we're just talking shop.
Exactly. You know,
we're in similar stages. Yeah. I'm scaling my business at a national level. He's scaling his.
Yeah.
So it's funny. And our family makes fun of us because they're like, okay, you guys just go get a room.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's like this bromance that we have because it's funny when you zero in on someone that's going through what you're going through as a business owner, because you need that. You need that. You need that echo chamber of, or someone to bounce those ideas off of. This is a struggle I'm having. How did you overcome that? Mm-hmm. And yeah, that would be, if anyone were to ask, you know, what's the hardest part? It's that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. It's having that bubble around you of support that helps you. And I do think it's difficult for everyone to understand, if you aren't a business owner, really, you know, what that feels like or how alone it can feel. And like to your point, having someone that you can connect with at different times in your businesses. I know I've gleaned a lot of knowledge from, you know, all of the stories that I'm sharing on Aspire to Be, but just learning from what other people have done, because while I may never have experienced that, I might in the future. So I love that's one of the, I love that it's one of the biggest challenges, but it's also probably one of the greatest.
I've accepted that's just something I'm going to have to deal with forever.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
And I'm okay with that.
Well, what's one of the biggest rewards that you've gotten as an entrepreneur?
Oh gosh.
And there may be several.
So I think one of the biggest rewards for me is back when I was struggling in retail, trying to finish college, or struggling early on in wealth management, it was, times were really tough and really lean. And I remember at family get-togethers, my sisters would call and say, hey, are you coming? It's mom's retirement party. And I would say yes, because I just didn't want to tell them I couldn't make it. I would just tell them at the last second, something came up, I can't make it. And it's just, I couldn't go. And I'm looking through old photos of all these things and special occasions that I've missed. And when things really started working for my wife and I, and I realized that my siblings stopped asking if I was going to make it.
Yeah.
I would always be there. I would go down when nobody else could.
Yeah.
And it's just a big reward isn't, hey, let me just tell you about the house I live in or the car I drive. The big reward is just having the freedom to spend the time with the people you want to spend time with. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's why I work a lot of Saturdays.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a couple of years ago, I was able to take my sister to Italy for her birthday.
That's fantastic.
And just little things where you could just really make memories.
Yeah.
'Cause I know when that day comes and I'm laying in that on my deathbed. You know, right. I'm not going to remember all those Saturdays I worked.
That's right.
I'm just going to remember the moments I spent with the people I cared about. So I just, to be in a position to be able to make as many of those memories as possible,
yeah,
I think is the biggest reward.
Oh, that's incredible. And I think incredibly insightful, because I know for many entrepreneurs, sometimes they get so lost in the, you know, in the thick of it that they forget to stop and enjoy the times or have experiences. And I know that it does take effort and yeah. energy to make sure that you can get your work done yeah. and still have those experiences. So I think that's a fantastic lesson for our listeners who, while we're not saying that business is easy, you can have those freedoms. You can have that yeah. Ability if you plan your schedule
yes.
the way that you want to plan your schedule.
Yes.
So you mentioned that your wife works with you in the business. I know that we've talked to other folks that have joined us that have also worked with family members or spouses or partners.
Yeah.
Tell us what that's like. I mean, it's your life partner and your business partner. Yes. How does that work?
So we actually had a lot of experience working together when we first got married. We both dropped out of college and both worked as servers.
Yeah.
And we worked together there. But Karen and I have always spent a lot of time together, and basically I'll say this is that early on she was kind of a little bit on the detractor side. Are you sure?
Yeah.
This just sounds kind of weird.
Yeah.
I don't know if you should be doing this. And then she got a job at my old firm doing work there, and then started to really get surrounded around other entrepreneurs, and she was starting to get it, and she came to one of our conferences, and she was taking this all in, and she started to really come around, and there was this very, very, very important inflection point where we really rolled the dice, and we said, listen, let's give up this W-2 paycheck, let's give up these benefits. I'll tell you, the W-2 and employee benefits are a seductive mistress.
Yeah, great so, words.
So she took the leap, went full-time in with me. In 3 months, she generated enough income to cover her annual salary that she left.
It's brilliant.
And we've always suspected that her strengths were my weaknesses and vice versa.
Yes.
And we've actually validated that with some of the career testing tools that we're using. But we have this really interesting dynamic, and we work extremely well together.
It's fantastic.
One of the cons is it could turn into a business meeting at any second.
Yes.
We'll be having dinner.
Yes.
We're just talking. All of a sudden, we're having a business meeting.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we never ask each other how our day went.
Right.
Because we know.
Right.
Because we were both there.
Correct.
So
yeah.
Carving out the time to really turn it off, leave that behind for just a second,
yeah.
and make sure we spend, you know, time doing things that we should do as a healthy married couple, right?
Right.
So that's always, because what we do is so cool and it's fun.
I know.
So it's easy to get 100%. Sucked into that.
100%.
So I think, you know, that's just a work in progress. I don't think we're ever going to crack it or solve it.
Yep.
But we do like to travel a lot yeah. when we take time off. We like to take time off.
It's fantastic.
She always says something that always gets me choked up. And like every now and then we'll pause and she'll tell me, I'm glad you proved me wrong.
Oh, that's the greatest compliment.
And, but boy, just seeing her and what she does, it's just, I always tell people, and this is true, people think I'm joking, but this is true, that I'm just a blunt instrument. You just put me in front of the client, she's the real brains behind the operation. Yeah. Because when she came on and got me organized and got me focused, that's when things started to take off. Like, you could look at the scatter plot of our success and
yeah.
you'll see a big jump, and that correlates directly when she came on board.
Oh, I love that.
We're like the Wonder Twins.
I love it.
Right? Remember Justice League, the Wonder Twins?
Yes.
So, you know, when you're apart, you're just this weirdo superhero in a purple costume. But
yeah.
when you put them together, we're like this force multiplier
yeah.
when you put us together. So we're a two-headed monster.
Oh. But what a great experience, right? I mean, for you and you know, also too, that you're enjoying those successes together.
Yes.
Right.
I think that definitely makes our marriage unique in that we are always in this position where we elevate each other. Mm. And she's my secret weapon.
Oh,
so
I love
if you could find yourself a partner like that, that's how you do it.
That's the key. Yeah. I know. I'm married to an entrepreneur as well. We don't work in businesses together.
Uh-huh.
Similar conversations. We're always talking about business. We can't help it. But to your point, the ability to be able to carve the time out and have, you know, that time away from work is always important. But I love it because I learn so much. We learn different things from each other as we go through our day to day. And I'm always listening, always learning. And likewise, he is too, because to your point, what he's good at, I'm not as good at.
Yeah.
And, you know, the things that I'm stronger at, he's not either. So it's a good compliment. So it's important whether you're starting a business, listeners, or looking to start it, you know, and you're looking at a potential partner, making sure that you do balance each other out, because, you know, two strong personalities in one area won't necessarily level the business.
Yeah, we both have really strong personalities, so we got to be careful.
Yeah.
Because, we're both extremely opinionated. but, yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, I'm so glad you share that. And I'm certainly, I will give a shout out to Karen here on the podcast as well and wish her congratulations as well.
I told her she should come here and she could, like, you know,
she could watch
pop
us.
In or drop in and say things, but... Yeah, she's holding things down for me.
That's fantastic. Well, I mean, certainly the whole purpose of Aspire to Be is for me to share not just my story, but stories of others like you who have built a business, who have successfully maintained that business, you know, over time. What are some of the key, I don't know if it's insights or advice that you can give people that might be thinking of starting a business?
Yes.
Maybe it's someone who isn't going to start a business, but is just looking for inspiration in how to move forward.
Gosh, there's a million things I can say here. But I would say, I want to say this, and I'm afraid it's been said a million times before, but I'll say it anyways, because it's just, it's so important, is that when I was starting out and I would seek the advice, or I would run into other successful business owners, and you meet these people and they seem like these absolute legends.
Mm-hmm.
And when they talk about what they do, it could feel so unattainable. And I remember when I was in wealth management, these people would come in and say, oh, yeah, we have a new incentive. If you make your sales goals, you'll take this trip to Hawaii.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, oh, come on. Who's going to hit that goal?
Right.
Like, I'm going to win this trip to Hawaii. Come on, give me a break.
Right.
So what I would say for someone that's starting is, you know, if you're looking at the people that come on this podcast,
mm-hmm.
or you meet those rock stars on YouTube or LinkedIn, understand that what you're not seeing is all the doors that have been slammed in my face, all the failure, there is no failure. There's only iteration.
Right.
So all the struggles that it took to get to where you are,
mm-hmm.
and the struggles that continue and remain to keep going, and just understand that it takes a lot of work. And this is something, if you really want it, you'll do it.
Exactly.
One of my other mentors said, if you just stick around long enough, all the experts are going to go away because they're going to retire and you're the only one that's left. And all of a sudden you're the expert.
Yep.
Right.
It's very true.
And so it's just, it's persistency, it's having an unnatural, like I said earlier, tolerance for rejection.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say you don't have to be that smart. You just have to be willing to put in the work.
Yeah.
And it will happen.
Yeah.
It's just one of life's most consistent formulas is, if you stick with it, you stay consistent. You're going to take the slings and arrows that come along with that. You're going to do great. You just have to be willing to do the work. And My wife and I always say this, if it was easy, everybody'd be doing it.
Right? I think I say that at least once a day.
Yeah.
Whether it's to build up my own confidence or to build up somebody else's.
I think this is the 10th time I've said it so far today.
Exactly. Well, and I mean, this also brings, I mean, that's great advice for someone that's thinking about it. And I don't know about you, but I know for me, right before I wrote my book, I was going through this period where we were in business 14 years. I'd hit the milestones I wanted to hit. And I was going, okay, what's next? How do I get there? Mm-hmm. I couldn't find that motivation. For those listeners who are in the thick of it, right? They're not getting sleep like we are. I mean, they're, you know, and what is some advice to them to kind of push forward, you know, when they hit a bump in the road or they hit a period where they can't see forward?
Karen and I have this funny saying that if you're not uncomfortable, you're doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I became part of this group that really taught us things to help us see past ourselves. Sometimes we have to get out of our own way. Mm-hmm. Okay. So here's an example. Should I be a college planner? I don't have anyone in my family that went to Harvard or Yale.
Right.
I never finished college. Mm-hmm. Wow. And it's funny when I talk about this, people say, oh, there's a term for that. It's called imposter syndrome.
You're like, no, really, I didn't go to college.
Oh, that's like, that really is imposter right. syndrome. I have never finished college.
Yeah.
So I think for people that are struggling, it's, you're probably doing something right. Because to move forward in business, to grow, is a painful experience.
Yes.
And here is something that I learned that really turned it around for me. Because I felt there was something wrong with me.
Sure.
I said, wow, things are really going our way. We're growing. We're bringing on more clients. Oh, I'm stressed out.
Right.
Or,
right.
Ooh, I'm failing.
Yes.
I can't get clients. Ooh, I'm stressed out.
Yeah.
I realized, wait a minute.
Yeah.
If you're moving forward and you're doing great,
yeah.
Or you're failing, or you're not getting where you want to be, it feels the same.
It does. So you're absolutely right.
If I'm going to stress, I'm going to stress and move forward.
Yeah.
So don't be surprised if there's some cognitive dissonance, I think is the psychological term. That is my default setting.
Yep.
That is my default setting is, and if I'm not feeling that, it's probably because I'm not, you know, moving where I need to.
Exactly.
And I mean, you have a journalist at the New York Times that's an expert, that's supposed to be an expert on higher ed, and you tweet them openly and you call them out on, you know, right. some of the errors that they're making. And it's like, oh, should I have done that?
Whoops.
Oops. And, you know, 3 years later, I'm at the New York Times building, you know, meeting with them in person.
Right.
So it's, you got to move forward. You may do things that make you uncomfortable, but maybe because you're uncomfortable, maybe it's because you're doing something you're supposed to be doing, because you're growing, because you're pushing forward. So that's what I would say.
Oh, I love that. And I agree with it wholeheartedly. Yeah. I think that the most times that I have felt, maybe not the stress, but pressure the most is when I knew things were changing and evolving in a very positive direction. And I tend to, glass is always full. It's never half empty. It's never half full. It's always full. But I do think it's that, you know, it does take an innate ability to be able to see forward, even in those moments of stress or pressure.
Yes.
And I do think that, you know, one of the things that I know some of the entrepreneurs in my life, we always talk about is there is light on the other side of the darkness, right? Yes. So you just have to keep moving further and until you see the light. And it's never fun to slog through the middle as it is. But but at the same time, when you get on the other side, it's that much greater of a reward. So
yes, it is. It's one of the perks is just knowing that if you succeed or fail, that it was you're basically the captain of your destiny here. Mm-hmm. So If you succeed or fail, it's totally up to you.
Yeah.
And you do. I did have the security working in retail for big companies like The Gap, Bloomingdale's. My last retail stint was with Apple.
Yeah. Okay? I mean, it's.
And even though you have the security there, you know, a really bad quarter, or if a CEO overspent on a bad product, all of a sudden they're making cuts.
That's right.
If I'm going to get cut, I want it because of something that I did, not
right.
totally dependent on what some other CEO or higher up made a bad decision. So, yeah, there's perks to it. I think we were talking earlier. There's for me, one of my big perks is the afternoon nap. You know, yeah.
Which I'm still trying to figure out how to work into my schedule. I'll have to put that on my calendar.
I'll be turning 48. In a couple of months, so I've realized in my mid to late 40s, never underestimate the power of a really good nap in the middle of the day. So that's a really big perk. And again, my biggest perk is, you know, being able to, you know, I work with my wife, but also being able to have my dogs with me.
Sure.
Day in and day out. So yeah, it's that's one of the things. I just said this to Karen yesterday is, we are so all in on this. Like, we pushed all of our chips and we're going all in, and it's a big bet. And it's one of the most liberating and one of the most frightening things that you can do.
It is.
Is for us to bet on ourselves that big. So
you just hit on it. It's betting on yourselves. It's investing in you. And I do think that as business owners, you are investing in yourself. Yeah. It may not always feel like you are, right? Yeah. It might feel like you're putting yourself through some type of torture for God knows what reason. But
check in on me in a year and I'll tell you if it was a good bet or not.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. Well, we're so happy that you've joined us today for this. Yes. But I also want to make sure that for any listeners who are parents of college students or soon to be college students, how do we find you? How do they engage with you?
So it's funny. I wanted to say something clever, like just go on Google and Google search best college planner in the world. I'll pop up. No, but seriously, I'm really easy to find. You, if you're on LinkedIn, you could just search for Danny Umali, and I'm super easy to find there. We do have a website, gametheory.college. .com is what's known as a top-level domain. So these new top-level domains came out, .college came out.
Yeah.
So I thought it'd be super cool and clever to do gametheory.college.
Very clever.
So it doesn't sound like a website, but it is. Mm-hmm. Or just Google search Game Theory College, and you can get a hold of us.
Fantastic.
It's funny. I am told that my cell phone number is even out there. So
probably
I'll get these. I don't know where it is.
Probably is.
I'll get these calls on my cell phone. I'll be on the phone with my mom. Hold on, Mom. I got a call on the other line, and someone's calling me from Idaho wanting
help with college planning.
So, no, I'm very easy to find. But, yeah, just Google search gametheory.college and connect with me on LinkedIn. I'll be happy to chat with you.
And is there anything about the process of working with you that you want them to know, or?
I'm very opinionated. Yeah. No, you know, I mean, parents tell me that the reason they love working with me is their kids seem to respond to what I tell them. Mm-hmm. And I just tell these parents, the only reason they're listening to me is because I'm not you.
You're not the parent, yeah.
I think what they'll find is they'll find a process that is highly developed, very results driven, mm-hmm. and just unlike anything else that's out there. Mm-hmm. And we'll save you a ton of money and
that's a ton fantastic. Of time.
But yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your story, for talking to us about the things that keep you up at night, but also what rewards you in the end.
Yeah, we should like release a B-roll or a blooper roll for like the other 5 hours we've been spending talking about this
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly. Or me having to run home to get lipstick for the podcast. That will add to my list of things too.
Well, I left my lipstick at home. I figured why not just this one time do it without lipstick.
I mean, it was just one of those days, right, where I have a plan, I have a process, and at every stage it gets unturned. And that's what we were talking about prior to this, is the fact that sometimes it's outside of our control and we really do just have to roll with it. But it does, in the end, come back around. But thank you again. We look forward to our listeners being able to connect and reach with you, not just as a college planner, but also as an entrepreneur. You certainly have an amazing story to tell, and I'm so glad and honored that you chose to join us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, for those of you who joined us today, feel free to subscribe or follow our podcast at www.aspiretobe.co. And as always, I encourage you as you go throughout your day to aspire to be, dare to become. You might just surprise yourself.